Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hey, and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. Yay, we've got a really unique and amazing pioneer. He on the show as a guest. He is a Dutch rocket scientist and the co-founder of GaiaNet. This is a community of pattern breakers, change agents, rebels, scientists, shamans, healers that have come together to build the new earth in a totally radical new way, which is not dependent on external systems or governments. They are building the new earth from the ground up, and we're going to hear about incredible new earth projects that are now being birthed by this community. So I'm so delighted to invite in Dan Goerter. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Right. Goerter or Goerter?
Goerter, yeah.
Goerter. Okay, Dan Goerter. So delighted to have you on the show. And I'm so glad that we connected when I came across, well, when you introduced yourself to me and I came across GaiaNet, I was just blown away. It was like this whole portal of an incredible network of organizations that you're gathering under this beautiful umbrella. And all these organizations devoted to building the new earth in so many different ways, so many different facets, whether it be through design and architecture, ecological, concepts or agriculture, whether it be even like, open source systems and, software and banking, just like all aspects of life, of economy, I was just blown away. And so I had to get you on the show to hear about the incredible projects that you're working on. I would love to hear first for audience members who don't know you, how you birthed or co-founded GaiaNet, and what is your vision for the new earth? What are you working on?
Right on, of course. Well, thanks for inviting me on the podcast. It's really lovely to be here. We started GaiaNet in March 2020 in the Netherlands. It was when Corona hit there and we had the first lockdowns. And through actually a variety of magical synchronicities, I came in contact with a few of the other co-founders, and we had some group meetings with 10, 15, 20 other people in there. And the main topic of the conversation was, look, we all recognize that the old world is coming to an end. And this is probably the beginning of that ending. This is a really major global event. And we are going to see more and more cracks in the foundations of the old systems. And now what? What are we going to do about it? Because it's like our house is on fire and people are painting the bathroom, but that's not going to do the job. Some other people say we're heading straight for that iceberg with the Titanic and we are reshuffling the silverware on the Titanic. It's like, it makes no sense. So we need a radical change and a radical transformation. And I was personally looking for these kinds of people for many years already, but I didn't find anybody who dared to have a grandiose vision that it's actually possible to create a massive transformation in our socio-economical systems. And so the main finding that we had in these groups was all the solutions already exist. This is really our belief. All the people are there, the projects are there, but what's missing is the connective tissue between them. They're all very siloed. They don't know about each other, but we all are convinced that if we are to create this massive change, we need to collaborate at scale and do this without the abuse of power, without the old structures, in a new way that's more harmonious, that creates more group flow and allows for purpose to be our guide instead of other incentives. So that's why we started GaiaNet. We ended up with 6 people in the Netherlands. And that was our beginning point.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. And I love how you share instead of these projects or organizations or individuals being in these kind of siloed off, that there needs to be this common connectivity. And it sounds to me like then the group work behind, you know, working in community is a big priority for you. Otherwise, what?
Yeah, otherwise what?
Yeah. What? I mean, really, what? I mean, how are you seeing now that working, testing this out on the ground, you know, instead of kind of, because I see that you are all, your group is actually, you know, meeting regularly, you're about to start working in a project in Brazil, right? And actually doing the work necessary to build these new communities, these new cities, these new systems. Why is it important to work together in a group?
Because the main configuration that humanity finds itself in now is that of the market and the state. Hmm. And we have a so-called free market that's regulated by a state with a monopoly on violence. And the only metric that we're really optimizing for in the current configuration is profit. And the only metric that indicates success for a population is GDP. And because of these generator functions, as they're called, we are facing a meta crisis. There is a multitude of crises that are all separate: biodiversity loss, pollution, economic inequality, power struggles, war. All these things, they all actually have these generator functions underneath them that are small groups of people all intertwined.
They're eating off of it. As you speak, I can see these beings, the beings behind those people that are literally just devouring that, the people, souls. And usurping us.
And that in definition is against life. It's life destroying. And we need to transition to something that's life affirming and life supporting. Mm-hmm. And one of the primary things is the abuse of power of this state holding the control over the market and over the population and making these rules and regulations with. It's a bit of a false ideology that we live in a democratic world, because when you go look really deep, why this
is a very light way for you to say
I'm being a little mild, you know, because I don't need to shock too much. But this is what we saw at the beginning. Like, one of the problems is this vertical hierarchy. So we want to break that and we want to unlearn that. So we started internally with the principles of self-organization, using holacracy and having roles instead of managers and C-suite and a director and all these things. Right. We wanted to empower ourselves, and that's how we started off. But we soon enough found many other projects that working on the decentralization of power and authority, and how can we better manage the resources on the planet equally and transparently, so we don't get this extreme class division between groups of people on the planet.
Wow. Incredible. Beautiful. So with all that, then, as a base, as a real, you know, one of your, the core purposes of this mission that you and GaiaNet and the community that you're working with is on, with that, then, what is your vision for the cities of the future, the communities of the future?
So basically a different configuration. Instead of a market state configuration, we are talking about a community type configuration of society. And that means one that is based on the values of justice, freedom, and efficiency. and that promotes all life and includes all stakeholders, including all beings that reside physical and non-physical. And that will be a configuration of society that looks at what are the resources that are available and then use advanced technologies, computing, AI, all these forms to look at what are the needs of the population and to optimize the available resource to fulfill the needs of the people, which is what we should be doing altogether. We all have these basic set of needs. We all want to be healthy. We all need a roof. We all want to have nutritious food. We want to grow. We want to evolve. We all have a set of basic needs, basically. And we need to allocate resources to the optimization of the fulfillment of those needs. And that's what that kind of society is going to look like. It's going to feel like that you're going to have open access to get the resources to grow to the next stage. And the system will have been designed to optimize for not only individual flow, but also group flow, team flow, societal flow, neighborhood flow, you know, that we get the sense of true community again. And by that, actually restoring our connection to the sacredness of life. Because one of the diseases or generator functions is that we have the illusion of separation. And because of this illusion of separation that we are individual, and because of the great American dream that you can accomplish anything you want, but it's always at the cost of something else. And that is not being told.
I'm just seeing pictures of, you know, I grew up in Toronto, of all the drug addicts and alcoholism, you know, people lying on the streets, you know, old people forgotten about, you know, it's just like, is this what a democratic society is, right? Yeah. Incredible. And how would money work in your, are you exploring the new, because I feel it, it's coming down. I mean, it already is. I mean, there's shifts occurring. I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but shifts occurring already within the current banking system. But you know, just briefly, I know that, you know, the people listening are interested in seeing and hearing about the architecture and the vision, but I think money is really important to talk about here as well. Yeah.
Of course. It's the main source of need fulfillment right now on the planet through this market and through this state configuration is how we deal with the energy of money. And it's a big subject in our team, the conversation around this. I have a very clear picture and a vision of what it's going to look like in 1,000 years from now.
Right.
And that is kind of my anchor. And that is also, I'm together with a Brazilian woman. Her name is Marinici. And she has many visions of the future. She's a very clear channel. And she has many dreams and visions on a regular basis of what this new paradigm is going to look like.
Wow.
And that's going to be an integrated network of city systems that optimize for need fulfillment, which will transcend the concepts of trade and money and interaction and having to buy things. And it's almost unbelievable to imagine it, you know, but what if we can create a world where we transcend? Yeah, where we just don't need to trade together anymore, but because of our contribution, if we can make our contribution visible and we work with our merit and we can show how much good somebody has done for others, and that gives them more access or more privilege or whatever, and that would be the incentive to do good, would give you more access to more things, is very different than trying to just dominate, extract as much as you can. And, you know, so the far, far future is something like what you see in Star Trek, where you have a federation of planets and where there is just no more money needed.
Yeah. And as you speak, well, I love, first of all, Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm a huge fan. And I could just see that as you speak, Dan, and also what you're telling me, your partner, I mean, what a gift, what a blessing to have someone like her who sees the future and who is a deep intuit, and she has this vision for the cities, and you as well, having that anchored vision in the future. It's really beautiful. A lot of people work with the past frame of reference to vision. So, because they only measure according to what is possible from the old paradigm structure. So it's really beautiful that you just said, that's my anchor, the vision that I see for the, you know, what's going to come in 1,000 years. I got shivers when you said that. And as you were sharing, I tuned into also, actually, we experience that reality when we are giving from our hearts, they're kind of these kind of mini explosions of abundance that occur when we, I don't know, take care of a tree, or take some time, you know, take time to help someone in need on the street, or, you know, so this act of doing something, it could be also creating a work of beauty. It could be also creating an artwork. But what I was hearing too is that the angelic realm and the nature spirits, they see that too, and they help to increase the abundance for humanity when that occurs. Because they, I mean, magic is real. And so portals open, time bends, encounters occur with people who you would have never encountered before in your life, just when you do an act of kindness. Or I don't like that word. I'm deleting that. I don't like the word kindness. People use that so much. They use that all the time in Canada with COVID. There was this pressure to be kind. So I'm deleting that word. But an act of love, an act of creation, an act of beauty. And then you talk about beings, you know, seen and unseen, that are all part, they're all stakeholders. And this is something that I've brought through with the Sacred Blueprint system, Dan, that I've birthed, and I'm applying to my architecture projects and training other women architects and designers through this unique modality. And it was I realized, Dan, that oh my God, the building code has to completely change. Right?
Totally.
It has to completely change. Like, wait a second. We're not working with the being of place. We're not working with the spirit of place. We're not listening to the devas in the landscape. We're not doing any honoring like our Indigenous brothers and sisters would do. I'm referring more to my Canadian Indigenous brothers and sisters, as I was born and raised there. Now I'm in Turkey, but all ancient cultures around the world. It was like a standard, you know, protocol, and also to work in community was standard. So whether or not some communities were successful or not, and I'm sure, you know, there were hierarchies, I'm not trying to make it all romantic and, you know, a rainbow picture here, but anyway, that just opened up that whole flow for me here. And I think we just really, what you're sharing with me further anchors in how important our responsibility as human beings is, and how deeply connected we are to the spiritual world and nature. And when we do connect with pure hearts, that the right information and flow of income and money will come. But I know that you're also working on some specific mechanics around the money as well. That it's not just about, you know, doing manifestation work and that it'll come, no. But there's an actual system. We need to be grounded as well. That's the masculine. We need the masculine to get this thing built, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I would love for you to share some of the projects that you're working on. I'm just going to allow you to share screen. For listeners who are listening via the podcast, feel free to continue listening. And I invite you to not turn off, like to not pause the recording, but I invite you to use your imagination when Dan is speaking about the images that he's sharing on screen. Next, after you listen to the podcast episode, I invite you to go hop on over to my YouTube channel and actually then watch the video so that you can see what Dan is sharing here. So Dan, I would love to see some of the projects that you're working on. Go ahead.
So yeah, I will start with our website here, which is gaianet.earth. And we are here to grow the roots of a new earth. And that means for us to create this mycelium underground from which up this new reality can emerge. And we are here to provide this this network of people underneath there. So the last 3 years, we have been holding hundreds of networking calls and trying to find these projects that are working towards a large transformation. And we use the Wheel of Co-Creation by Barbara Marx Hubbard, which you see here. And the idea is Martin Luther King spoke about this, that those who love peace need to get just as good at organizing as those who love war. Oh. So therefore, we set on a mission to organize all this information and these projects and to help them find each other. Some of the projects in here, one is the Alpha Omega Foundation of my wife, which has a vision to create 144 light cities, which we're going to look. These are some architectural drawings of what one of these projects could look like. And this is one of the images of what such a system could look like with a centralized place. But it's all including sacred geometry, spirals, the four directions, earth and sky, to bring this all into harmony, because we understand that geometry and shape is the way to mimic the true understanding of the universe. If we look at the Platonic solids, and if you zoom in and zoom out, you see all the same shapes and structures, and we are not building like that at the moment. So that is the Alpha Omega project. That's that one. And another really promising is the Aravana project here, who have developed a set of socio-technical standards. It's a set of design documents which describe how the current configuration of society works. It peels it apart, and then it explains how we can create something that is dynamic and evolutionary. And all of the next steps feed into the other system. So it's a whole systems designed for creating a community type society. And the basic premise of this project, the basic steering values, are freedom, justice, and efficiency. So we need to get better at managing our resources and fulfilling the needs of humanity. And that's what this project is about. It's very big. Go to aravana.org to see more materials and find these standards. It's an open source project.
Fantastic.
And then, there are so many other projects that I could go
into. I know, I'm just looking at all these logos, but they're all so beautiful too. You know, like Time of the Six Suns, Sounds True, Waking Up the World. That's what I was talking about when I first encountered your website. I was like, whoa, this is like, and thank you for getting organized, just like the quote from Martin Luther King. It's so beautiful. Wow.
Yeah. So, and we've developed a tool, which is this is hosted on catalyst.network. You can go there and find GaiaNet. And this is what we call our trove, our treasure chest, which shows all the projects and their locations on the planet. And you can click on a project, and then it will show on the sidebar a description of the project, in which sector they are, what's the status of the project, are they scaling up or not, and where do we find them? And then there's ways to come in contact with them also.
Incredible. So this could also be a really great way for people who are searching to live in community to access this and to contact those specific locations and perhaps even live, depending on the stage of the project, of course. Yeah.
So here I'm opening randomly. It's called Alma do Solo, and they're located in the Azores. They're developing a regenerative village, and they are doing this designing a land trust. So instead of private ownership, they're asking people to invest money to jump in, but not claim any ownership over any property. And to come together as a group of beings to truly learn to become a steward again of the land and to really honor the local place. So this is a very pioneering place. Also, they already acquired quite a big piece of land on the Azores, and they're further developing the legal structure. And they're running, of course, into a lot of challenges of fears of people and putting money into something. Where is my security?
Right, it's like,
where is my ownership?
But I want to just say something about that too. But people are also investing in properties in the metaverse.
Yeah, well, that's a whole
different... You know what I mean? Which is so funny too. But people are somehow, you know, I don't know. There's some have confidence in the metaverse than actual soil. Anyway, I just wanted to insert that. But look at all these projects. Wow.
So this is another project in Portugal, the traditional dream factory, and they've already managed to put land on chain and developed an association in Switzerland, which is also the same idea of a stewardship model of the land, where you would tokenize the land with Web3 technologies and then, not be a private owner anymore, but steward it together. So that is the map here. And then the last thing I want to briefly show you is our social platform, because at the beginning we decided we didn't want to be on any of the traditional big tech social media platforms because we want to be commercial free and not rob people of their attention. So we built our own social platform where we host events, where people can start any kind of discussion, where we have subgroups around, for example, housing and infrastructure, where we show the most promising projects or information in the ecosystem, like the new cities map, free cities, also things we need to look out for, or something like this is a little video of the Aravena project. This is also really lovely to see. I don't know if it's sharing my audio here.
It is. I don't know. I don't think it's sharing the audio, but we can just watch it without you can talk about it as it goes.
So this is a conceptual design of a circular city based upon community standards. And it shows how we can live together. This is 314 hectares for about 3,000 people, which is a combination of low density and high density living. And it's intended to be a restorative habitat integrated city system that also regenerates the lands and uses some medium density technology. So high technology for becoming fully self-sustainable. And it will have this integrated urban infrastructure that optimizes efficiency and effectiveness and resource efficiency. This particular one is based on a mineral-based construction, so using cement and traditional forms, but there is also potentials of using bioconstruction.
Sure, yeah.
And all these houses, buildings, and everything that you see should cover all of the basic needs: shelter, food, clothing, and energy. And it will have decision-making protocols that make it able to connect with other kinds of hubs like this to also exchange resources.
Right.
And then including a holistic farming system with rotational grazing so that it can provide food, fuel, and fiber. And use as much automation as possible to reduce the amount of mundane work that's necessary to keep this going. And all of this is designed on no cars, no machines, no motorized vehicles and stuff, based on inclusion and accessibility for everybody to walk everywhere and the highest level of freedom of possible for people. So without coercion, with true justice for all stakeholders, alive, non-alive, physical and non-physical, and optimizing for efficiency so that we need to use less of the resource, with a goal in the end to even come like fully circular. This will take a few decades, to get to a point where but we need to make a beginning.
Absolutely. Wow.
And it will have high support, rapid mass transportation between this hub and other hubs. And the goal of this one also is to create a finite boundary for a living environment. Instead of getting urban sprawl and everything just like the cities are evolving right now, we say like it's for this amount of people and that's the maximum and that's it. And then you start a new hub somewhere.
Right. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So, so that it's not going beyond its capacity. I mean, I'm just thinking about in Turkey, how much of a megapolis Istanbul is. It's just everyone's like about to kill each other. I mean, I don't want to make a vast generalization because it's such a rich city. It's beautiful, but it's getting to a point where it's just so overpopulated that people just can't take it anymore. So that's beautiful that there's this, what is that optimal capacity? And then when do you start rebuilding? You talk about automating the systems. Is this then also employing AI and robots and working in a way that, in a way that it's like, okay, well, let's increase our abundance and make life easier rather than, always having to overwork, overstrain? What would that look like? Because it's a pretty important topic now, AI.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of existential risks that come with AI sure. development, of course, and that's a big, it's part of the meta crisis that we are facing. But again, I think I want to refer you to Star Trek. What does that look like? Yeah, you have something in the wall where you can materialize food. Yeah, right. So we need to continue our evolution of technology, but it needs to be human-centrically designed.
Human-centered
design, really from the heart. And if it does that, then technology is also just a tool. And if we are to come in harmony with our environment, and we want to, provide food, shelter, education, everything for 8 billion people or more, we have to go on the route of technology. There is no way we can go on the route of all having 1 hectare and growing our own food forest and be all happy and built with dirt. And no, we have to evolve further, and it has to outcompete the current paradigm of efficiency and living together on a smaller piece of land. And that can only be done with advanced computing. And the big inspiration for this, of course, is Jacques Fresco from the Venus Project, who already envisioned this in the 60s.
Was he in the Zeitgeist movie?
Uh-huh. The Zeitgeist movement was inspired by his work.
Yeah. I remember when you were sharing about the automation, he saw that the key to freedom and to abundance was through having robots. Well, I'm just seeing also in terms of architecture too, the incredible opportunity for robots to be pouring. You know, you've seen these probably, maybe even some of your collaborators are working on it and developing it. The clay walls, the massive clay walls that are now being poured by robots, and you know, the amount of beauty that we can build actually in cooperation with technology is infinite. But then how do we bring that human touch, that the doorknob that's hand carved? You know, I think just really bridging that, both the hand, the touch of the hand with technology the key. It's really the key.
We need to revive the age of beauty. Huh? We have really lost the beauty through nihilism and the postmodern movement and stuff. And it, like Brasilia here in Brazil is a good example of a city without a soul, because it's designed with the philosophy that a human being is a mechanic thing that needs a parking garage, basically. It's really horrible, but that's how they designed this city.
Yeah. And they're like really low ceilings those garages. Well, I'm just thinking about Le Corbusier too, the modernism. There was Adolf Loos too. I was just having a conversation with one of my colleagues and dear friends who is a permaculture, like the permaculture guy in Turkey. And he's also an architect. And we were talking about, what was it? Ornament is a crime. Ornament is a crime. It's a book by Adolf Loos. I don't know if you know that book, but.
No, but it sounds horrible.
On one hand, I get it because of the whole gold Rococo stage, and it starts getting out of hand with all the gold in the churches and the curly, you know, it starts to get overload. But this, what's really important is to actually feel and witness and see the movement of energy flowing through buildings, and actually have that expressed in the architecture. And when you express it in the architecture, also energy starts to get amplified.
Absolutely.
I mean, we know about free energy now. I'm sure some of your collaborators, maybe even your group, has access to people who are involved with doing free energy work. It's there. We were producing it. We had access to very high technologies in past incarnations and past epochs. And I think it's time that we also really get and understand that us human beings had that capacity. It's not like we were invaded by aliens and blah, 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 and this and that. Although, okay, sure, we are connected with other beings and other galaxies. But the capacity to create architecture that generates energy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, There was Nikola Tesla more than 100 years ago, yeah. And he developed a wireless energy system where we could just tap it out of the field. The Earth is a great dynamo. But he was shut down because there was too big of other people who were going to lose a lot of money who shut that down. And that keeps happening over and over because of this incentive structure that we have on the planet.
Yeah. Corporations want to make their money. They want to make their money through war. They want to make their money through energy. Oh, great. This is BioArk. I forget his name now.
Juan Schlosser.
Yeah, Schlosser. So, yes.
So they really looked in the energetics of buildings. And this is also based on what we find in a lot of ancient scriptures, how consciousness works in the different stages of awakening and evolution to enlightenment. And it's in these seven stages. And these all look like antennas, no? So they really focus on the energetics of buildings, including the sacred geometries. And we are seeing something like this incorporated in the video I showed you of Aravena, where you have this circular city, but it has to be aesthetically beautiful because it's very clear for our well-being. We need beauty around us. We are just uplifted by beauty, you know? And if we fail to see that we need to incorporate that into creation of the new, then it's not going to work.
Oh, whoever's listening, definitely watch the YouTube video because Dan is showing some really beautiful images from Juan Schlosser's work. The BioArk group, I believe, isn't he in Bali right now?
He's in Bali, correct.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So these incredible connectors and details that he's developed, right, with bamboo and... incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really based on the energetics of systems. Eh? They are not just, there's not just some idealism. They are really looking at how this works at the energetic level and what can be measured and the vibrations and how this works in shapes and forms. So this is a very promising project. They have already built several hubs worldwide in Indonesia specifically, but also in other places.
Fantastic.
And for example, one of the people in the network of my wife, his name is Marshall Lupin. And he is the professor of sacred geometry architecture at the McKinsey University in Sao Paulo. Oh. And he is going to be one of our main partners for building our first prototype light city here in Brazil.
Fantastic.
And he truly understands how consciousness evolves. And when you move into a building, how you can just feel like, wow. Like what we have in churches now, in a way. There's another dense energy there. But if you let go of the dogma and the religion and you walk into this building, open mind and open heart, you can feel elevated.
Absolutely.
We incorporate that in our city structures and make it monumental, make it like a temple space, the whole living environment. And it's going to affect everybody living there. We need that.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah, this is how you talk about entering into the church space, that there was an energetic mechanics also behind that. Yeah. And your aura expands. And the dowsers and the architects back in the day, they knew the tools to how to locate the building along ley lines, along certain intersections of underground water, over blind springs, you know, the altar of the east end of the church or whatever spiritual kind of temple space it is. And we've lost that capacity. So great that you're working with architects that have the know-how. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why my wife has been receiving messages that we need to create high energy points of living and being on the most energetic point, the acupressure points of our planet, and interconnect them and build these kind of geometries there so we can reactivate the energetic grid around the planet and actually transition to the next dimensional way of being. So this is the long-term vision of building this network and emerging this new Earth. It's a combination of a consciousness evolution of the masses in combination with the physical redesign of our living structures, combined with a redesign of the social architecture, how we relate to each other and how we relate to resources and use them for our need fulfillment. So that kind of brings it full circle.
So powerful and so important. I mean, many of the journeys that I lead, the women that I mentor on, when we do our group journeying together or when I'm one-on-one, often we do receive similar visions where where there's this whoosh, like, no, the architecture that you need to create relates to another temple, relates to another one, relates to another, and that there's this big grid communication points between the two. But like you said in the beginning, if we're doing it in silo mode, right, we need to know about each other. And thank you for, you know, your work that you're doing with GaiaNet, and thank you for being organized and organizing and pulling together all of these incredible resources, these incredible people, these communities, and actually having an archive of where they're located so that whoever is hearing the call can connect and you know, taproot, right? Connect and start building the mycelium under the earth and create this solid foundation for the new earth. Wow, I'm blown away. And I'm so excited to hear more about the project that you're going to birth in Brazil. I'm sure that you will have some videos and, you know, images of what stage that's in, so everyone can follow.
Yeah, in good time. At this moment, we are just here in Brazil, in this little town, building our network, scouting lands. We've met many large landowners. There's about 100,000 hectares of land for sale, of which we know of, which is 1,000 square kilometers, which is like absurdly big in one municipality. And in Brazil, there's so much more land for sale in other energetic hotspots also. So this is a very fertile country to do this, because in Europe, you will not find these large lands for sale anymore.
So incredible. Yeah. I'm sure that with your partner and with your group, you're also hearing, like, following the signs, right? Where to go. If, you know, you talk about power spots and stuff, right? It's like, what, right? Isn't that an important piece? Yeah.
Of the come here on my own accord to this town. I came here twice before for a plant medicine retreat. There's a festival here once every 2 years of 3 weeks with many shamans from all South America. They are all serving their own medicine. I came here twice before, and then in 2020, I was connected because of my project and my wife's project. Somebody was translating her document, who received my document, say, wow, that looks a lot alike. Should I connect you? We started talking, and then my wife told me, like, where is this? Like, I asked her, where do you think the first prototype is going to be built? She said, oh, in Alto Paraíso in Brazil. I was like, get out of here. It's the only place I visited in Brazil. I've been there twice, never visited anywhere else. And she's like, it's there. And from the moment we arrived there, we've had like insane amounts of synchronicities. We go on top of mountains. Yeah. She sees the place transformed. I've been here in ceremonies. I've had visions of this whole surrounding transformed into the new paradigm. This is the birthing of a new humanity. This place is the heart, the spiritual heart. Of course, there's going to be many very important places on the planet part of this network, but you could see this as like the spiritual capital of the world, and other places were specialized in technology, in resource management, in education, whatever. But this one is going to be about a multitude of spiritual approaches. And
so exciting.
It's just magical. Like, it's just magical. This is not mind driven. This is only like spirit driven. Why we're here.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm feeling called to extend my gratitude to the land there as you speak, to the mother.
I'm
feeling called to extend my gratitude to her, and thank you for opening her heart to all of you, and to saying, you know, sending her whispers, right? Like, build here, and helping you to receive those visions. Absolutely. So beautiful. Wow. Well,
I've been in many places, but walking the lands here for the first time with my wife, I felt such a welcoming, such a warmth, no hostility, no like, what are you doing here? Like, come, bring more. That feeling. It's very, very strong.
Yeah. Like big mama arms.
Yeah. The mama arms.
Mama arms. Oh, well, so beautiful. This talk was so moving, and really, congratulations for all of your hard work. And I so look forward to seeing the next phases of manifestation of the incredible systems that you're building for the new earth. I'm really excited. And thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And so everyone knows how to reach Dan. We're going to, you know, he shared his website, and then the website is a great starting point to access all of these incredible communities around the world. Various collaborators that are working on the projects, including architects. So check those architects out as well to learn about, oh, what's possible. You mean I don't need to work in conventional architecture anymore? I can actually build in a new way that's resilient and in tune with energetics. And look at how much work these architects are getting. So it's the future, everyone. Yeah. It's the future. So we will add those links in the description section of the video and the podcast below. So great to have you, Dan. And I look forward to chatting again in the future.
Thanks so much for having me. It was wonderful.
Bye. Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, güle güle.